Here we are, June something or other. We are looking at June 5th. And we are looking at life issues, the mysteries of life issues. And we are in part three. And we're still, we're going to finish it up tonight. What keeps people saved or lost? Doesn't matter. I mean, the lost people don't get things because they're lost. But still, there's things that they're involved with in their life that keeps them from seeing when you show it to them. But even what we're talking about now, even deals with those people who are, you know, so-called saved, things that happen within their lives that still keeps them from seeing the simplicity and the plainness of speech answers that the scriptures have for us about these daily issues of life. And I have posted the questions we'll go over. And again, I haven't received any yet, but if I get any more from folks, I'll include them. I have been receiving emails again from some folks, a couple new people as well. So that's nice. That's exciting. And here I'll be able to get going on this thing here now that we're settling down. The house is everything we moved over from the old house is here anyway. And pretty much in its place. So we're settled down from that standpoint. So that'll help a lot too. So let's look here tonight, part three, life issues. What keeps people from seeing the truth or the answers to these so-called mysteries? And so, if these obstacles for people, if we can't finish it up here tonight, then Sunday we can get into one of our first issues of life here. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And you can see we would even be talking here about somebody who has even been a Paul, what I call a Paul person, you know. He says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So, it's been evident here that these people have seen the truth at one time. Okay, so Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, it says here, that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth. So these people should know. So the big question here is, this only what I learned of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith, hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So who hath bewitched us, different people, to where we get back to this flesh bondage, this lack of joy and all this frustration and confusion about these things in day-to-day life? We could save all three of these parts and say, listen, you're not reading your Bible. You don't believe it to be rightly divided, and you don't believe by following Paul. Yeah, that simplifies it totally. But anyway, let's look at some answers here the scriptures have to this thing. And here we're talking to somebody tonight, or referring to somebody who has been bewitched. They've been changed. They've changed their mind, or they've changed their walk, whatever. And now they think, I mean, they're so foolish to think that, once they hear what Christ has done for us, imputation, it's not only just salvation, but the imputation of what he did with sin and that whole string of fantastic doctrinal things to learn from Paul only, that now that we're going to go back into this routine of getting out there and either doing it the holiness way or just getting into this frustration of just daily life and not understand what's going on. So when a person gets bewitched, this person, whoever it is that bewitched this person, who has bewitched you, who's changed your mind, who's tricked you, who's deceived you, and we realize to ourselves that we are around people, we talk with people, we have friends, we want to have friends, we want to have fellowship with somebody, so somebody out there is bewitching different people. Now, we need to realize that either somebody's going to talk you down or talk us down about this whole Paul King James Bible only stuff, or somebody's going to uplift you and encourage you to do the right thing and to study and to hang in there with what we're fighting over. It seems that the people that are trying to drop us down, they have no problems, it seems. They have no issues. They supposedly understand the issues of life. No, I don't believe they do. But I don't believe they care. I think they just want to go from day to day like a little butterfly hopping from branch to branch with a little smile, Jesus loves you look. And they dress the way they want because God has okayed it, because God hasn't told them not to. They go where they want. God doesn't rebuke them or chastise them for it. And we know all the reasons why. But they don't realize that. So they're just going along, doing their happy little thing. And we, if we're not careful, can be bewitched by that. Because we would like that. But yet Paul says, if you're going to live a godly life according to the risen Savior, we're going to have persecution. We're going to have suffering. We're going to have a hard time. We're going to recognize, because we understand and know these simplicities of life, we're going to see our kids struggle. We're going to see them be mad at us. We're going to see ourselves become everybody's enemy out there, and we get tired of that. So we're going to be bewitched. We're going to be bewitched by these modern Christians, and yet they're going to talk us down. Well, how could you believe such a thing about this Paul only guy? Come on. And they're going to talk you out of this King James Bible only? Come on. How can you think such a thing? That thing's been touched by man from the beginning. For 400 years, it didn't even work. Blah, blah. We know the whole story. There's Greek scholars. They found new manuscripts, and they're putting us down. They're actually, I want to say to these people, you really think God wants you to go around telling people where the Bible is wrong? You have studied enough that you now know where the Word of God, the Word of Truth, has mistakes? That's really God's desire for you? Well, according to them, it is. And they live this happy-go-lucky, love everybody, loved by everybody, everything you do pleases God, blah, 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 because God is love and you have God, so you are love. The whole ball of wax. Or instead of being around this guy, this person who's constantly trying to bewitch us down into this modern thing that we're supposed to despise, by the way, we get uplifted by somebody who understands the Paul thing, understands why King James only, understands no need for Greek, understand the persecution and the suffering we're going to go through, understand the fact that, sure, we all want to serve God with our mind, but no, we'll serve the law of sin with our flesh. We understand that in people. So when somebody trips up and fails, and I mean even in a serious manner, I mean a big way, we still understand, and we don't look down on them for that. We just understand their flesh went. They made the wrong choice, that's all. So in that case, we've either got people that will lift us up or will drop us down and bewitch us. We look at Romans 16. Let's go to Romans 16. Now who are these people that want to bewitch us? Not in understanding the issues of life. Even in fact, when we talk to people about these daily mysteries of the issues of life and give them the scriptural answers, that even makes them mad. They don't want to hear it, which we know that. Romans 16:17, we know this verse, says, of course, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Well, there's a simple, in plain speech, scripture from God, the risen Savior to Paul, written and preserved in the King James Bible, spoken to us through our Apostle Paul, that says, listen, there's people out there that are going to cause division in your life. They're going to cause divisions and offenses. And they're going to, contrary to what I have taught you from as Paul. And he says, mark them and avoid them. Well, why? Well, maybe they're possibly the ones that are going to bewitch us away from the whole thing eventually. Makes sense. But then if we go to Philippians chapter 3, we will see also verse 17, where he says, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example and sample. So we look to these people that walk, there it is, it's your physical walk, not just their belief, but their walk, according to what Paul has taught. So we got two choices. We can either mark, we can either follow those people or hang around those people that will drag us down, or hang around those people that will lift us up. Well, what if you don't have anybody that you can hang around that would lift you up? Okay, then you be the one that will lift somebody up when they come to you. You'll lift them up with the truth. You won't bewitch them. You won't drag them down. You won't get caught up in these ridiculous issues of daily life, because we understand what's going on. The more we rightly divide, the more we read, the more we study, the more we get an understanding, and the more we know what's going on. And there's no reason we should be down, because Christ has taken care of the law, so our righteousness is His righteousness. See, this other person believes that it's their righteousness that gives them God's blessings. And we understand through Paul, through the risen Savior Himself, that it's not our righteousness at all. It's His righteousness that keeps us going. It's His faith that keeps us going. Now, yes, we have a judgment seat of Christ coming up. And yes, our righteousness, our works, not just our right, but our works will be judged. We'll talk about that in a minute here, yet at the end of this thing. So let's just consider the fact that the reason some of us, or different people that have the Paul thing or whatever, finally get bewitched is because they're hanging around the wrong people, and they're trying to drag you down, and they're the ones that are happy. You hang around the Paul guys, the Paulson guys, and whatever. We got so many troubles and tribulations and sufferings and financial hardships, and or we're sad and sickened because of our kids and the directions they've gone, our marriage, all that stuff. And yet we ought to have a happiness and a joy from within that gets us through all that mess. And they look at us and say, why do I want what you have? Well, because what I have is the truth. I have a messed up life. I can tell you what happened to my kids. I can tell you what's happening to the marriage. I can tell you what the struggles are at the jobs. I can tell you what's going on in this country. I can tell you what's going on in your church that you think is wrong, but you don't want to hear it. I can tell you what's going wrong with the women, the ladies. I can tell you what's going wrong with us men, based on scriptures. And I can tell you pretty much when the tribulation's coming, is because when we're done with Paul, then when this country, this world is done with the goodness of God, which only comes from Paul, then it's going to be knock, knock, here comes the tribulation. I can tell that much. What's the date? Well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you it can't be too far away. I've been saying that for years. Yeah, not based on Romans 11:22, I haven't. If these modern Christians think everything is so hotsy-totsy and doing so well, and God loves the whole world, and there's this revival in this country of people who are trying to, you know, be Jesus savers and saving people, all this kind of stuff, then they don't think that the world is that bad. Yeah, we're losing our freedoms, but if we would just pray more and seek God's face, He'll heal our land. That's what they talk about. So, it's who we mark. Do we avoid them or do we hang around them? Which one is it? Okay, so if we choose, you know, to let these people bewitch us down, then here's what we start to do here. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. I already mentioned it once here. Romans chapter 7. Then we get into the same mess that Paul fought over, Romans chapter 7, that he says, so with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. At least Paul's mind served the law of God. At least he knew what was right. He knew what was supposed to be going on. But he also was able to say, listen, it's not me that's doing this other junk. It's the sin that's in me. So he understands all that. But if we're not careful, we can make the choice on purpose, on a regular basis, to follow the flesh, to follow the law of sin. We could serve our flesh. We just do. Then if you go to Romans chapter 6, we go to 15 on down, we see where he tells us not to do that. Verse 17, for example. 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, that doesn't say that when you sin, you're going to die. That says you're choosing to follow that sin unto death. That could be, guess what sin does? It leads to death. Well, we're not going to be led to death, but we're going to choose to follow sin that leads to death. You see, it's like it's a one topic thing. We're going to choose obedience unto righteousness, which is His righteousness, doing the right thing, or we're going to choose sin unto death. But He's not saying that we are going to go unto death. That's the description of sin. Sin is unto death. Sin unto death. That's still in us. Does that make sense? Is that you see that? Whether of sin unto death, because that's what that sin will do. That's his point. Now it's not going to lead us to death, but we're still going to follow that sin. And it's a choice we make. Now, I got another reference here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 again. Yes, Mark writes here, our reputation with others dies. And you know, it's an odd thing. Our standing dies, yes. It's an odd thing because when we concern ourselves about our reputation with others, I'm not refuting what you said at all here. I agree with you. I understand that. But we are so far gone in this country for doing the right thing, for having anything to do in our lives that has any reference whatsoever to the Bible. Even amongst the so-called Christians, they don't like it. I mean, they really don't like it. There is such a difference anymore. If we follow sin, we lose the high ground with people. Okay, I think I see what you're saying here. That if we do the things that we know we can do, because all things are lawful, put it that way, and so we choose to do some things that they believe in their little Christianity that that's a wrong thing to do, then we lose our standing and our respect to them, and they don't listen to us, okay? But keep this in mind also, that I've also recognized that if anybody goes along with them and their way to keep peace in the conversation, you still lose their respect and their standing because then you don't believe enough what you believe in. Does that make sense? I know illustrations where people have gone to be with them, go to the activity with them, and changed their clothes and have gone back to that way and go places that they wouldn't have gone before, so they've given in. And that hasn't gained any respect whatsoever. Because what? Don't you really believe what you believed in? You're willing to give it up and give in? So either way, anymore today, we're not respected because there is such a chasm. Chasm? Big Valley, Grand Canyon, chasm. I think that's the word. There's such a separation that if we do the right thing to please God, we actually lose our respect to them and they don't get it at all. And you would think that if we change clothes to fit their scene, or if we started drinking what they do, go with them where they go, and blah, 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 you'd think they'd be happy and they'd let you into their camp as such. Well, they're happy about it. It's like Jeremiah, his family, was looking to see him fall. I forgot what it goes. But you don't gain any respect because you're hanging around them. One of the things I was reminded this weekend with my brother and his wife were with us, that a man has no profit or whatever, we have no honor in our own country. I mean, they know you from the start, and they just can't believe that you got anything valuable to say to them. So profit has no honor in his own country. We have no honor amongst people that know us from the past, our own home, our own country. So we have to, it's a tough road to follow, that we've got people that we think we're ever going to get respect from it. We're never going to get respect from them. I really believe that the only reason people are going to listen to us ever is when it starts to crumble. And I said this, Bob, you remember this, long time. Is Bob even still there? Let's check it out. I think you're still there, Bob, if you're listening. Years and years ago, I said, listen, they're never going to respect us as a church. They're never going to respect you as a Christian because you're a Bible guy. And they just don't get it. And the only time that they're going to listen at all is when everything really just goes belly up. and they're going to wonder what really is going on, and we're going to still tell them, if we're still here for that part of it, we're going to still be able to tell them, and they're still probably going to fight it. It's just the craziest thing to think that there'd be one Bible, and it'd be the King James Bible, and to follow just part of it. They just don't get it. And again, why don't they get it? These are the things we're going over here. Let's keep on to this thing here. So we're going to choose to serve the flesh. We're going to choose to serve sin unto death. Again, not unto our death, but that's the title of the thing. Now, and I really believe, Romans chapter 8, I really believe that one of the reasons we let this happen to us, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I do believe that if we stay out of our Bible long enough, and stay out of especially studying Paul and studying the things we ought to for our day-to-day walk, that we will forget about the glory which shall be revealed in us. And we start letting the sufferings of this present time be more important than the glory which shall be revealed in us. And after a while, we will choose the worldly way. We will choose to dress down. We will choose to take a few drinks. We will choose to go certain places. We will choose, we'll start giving in. We'll start erasing that list in our life that we have for our standards. Because we just don't think about the glory which will be revealed in us someday. That makes sense. We'll go here to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We will get tired of suffering reproach. 1 Timothy 4:10. Come on, where's it at here? There it is. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. And if we're going to trust in the living God, that means we're trusting in the King James Bible, rightly divided, looking to Paul as the apostle and the follower of the risen Christ. That's trusting in the living God. And if we're going to do that, Paul says we're going to suffer reproach, and it says both labor and suffer reproach. Labor is to work. Our work will suffer, and we both labor and suffer reproach. It'll be hard. So if we're getting tired of all this, we're going to choose to go to serve the law of sin unto death, as it says, and we're going to start forgetting about the goodness of God and the glory that's coming, even for Him especially. And we're going to allow ourselves to be bewitched and changed. We're not going to understand these things. And this is what I believe is taking place. Okay, then let's go down here to... I'm just checking here, make sure I get everything covered here. Let's go down here to Ephesians chapter 4. And here's the conclusion for this whole thing. Here's the problem that we're dealing with. Why don't people understand the simplicities of life? Why don't they understand the issues of life? Because everything is simply explained through Christ, the simplicity in Christ, the plainness of speech by Paul. So all of these things we talked about here, the love of money, the flattery, pride, conceit, the talk of peace and safety, bringing in the tribulation comfortably, the fact that apostasy is so slow and evil communication and the media is destroying us little by little in this leavening of the whole lump. People are worshiping an unknown God. They're caught up in this modern religion. And our crowd as such is beginning to partake with them more and more and more because we don't want to avoid, withdraw, have no company with, et cetera, et cetera. We're not marking the right people. We're marking the wrong people as people to hang around, apparently. And as a result of making the false choice, because we've been following the wrong person, we're following those that we should avoid, we find ourselves choosing to serve the law of sin. We find ourselves not knowing as much about the glory that shall be revealed in us. We're more concerned about not wanting to suffer reproach in our day-to-day walk. And as a result of all this stuff, we get stuck back in bondage again. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, where Paul is talking to, obviously, Gentiles, but he's also talking to the Gentiles who are saved, as such, the newer ones, because he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles." Okay? He's comparing these, the church of God now, with these other Gentiles. And here's how the other Gentiles walk. And that's in the vanity of their mind. So, using the language we use today, somebody who's truly a saved person is going to go back and walk like an unsaved person. So unsaved people, this Gentile thing, these unsaved people today, they live in the vanity, they walk in the vanity of their mind. And so as a result of this vanitorily walk, vanitationally walk, they don't see anything. They don't understand these daily issues. They don't understand, how can we say one Bible, one apostle to follow the risen Savior? They don't, and it's something that's so simple. It is such a simplistic concept to grasp, and it used to be there. That this is why he says in verse 18, if everybody starts thinking like lost people again in the vanity of their mind, it says right there that they'll have their understanding darkened. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, that's by their choice, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past, they've given up, who being past feeling have given themselves over, they give up, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is filthy life, filthy living, dirty living, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's what's going on. And then he says, but ye, meaning you and me and people out there that are hanging in there with this Paul-only stuff, says, ye have not learned so Christ, if ye be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. Well, we have been. We have heard the teachings of the risen Savior. And the religion doesn't. As a result, they have no understanding. They're alienated from the life of God. They're ignorant. Their heart is blinded. They've given up. They're given past feeding. They're into flesh. And so, when we try to explain to them these simplistic answers of the issues and mysteries of day-to-day living, they're not going to get it. That's just what's going to happen. And somebody tossed me a Bible verse the other day, and I know it's in Matthew. Just look it up, Matthew 24:12. And I understand, you know, the whole application here, but still, look at this verse. It says here in Matthew 24, so we're talking about tribulation. Okay, this is prophetical stuff, you know, kind of a thing, futuristic stuff. And one of the things he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, we know verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. See, that's not written to us. So this is not applicable advice, but it should help with our understanding, seeing how this is happening. We're getting closer and closer to the tribulation. We're getting closer and closer. Iniquity is abounding more and more. So as a result of all this stuff that's going on in this day-to-day living, the love of many shall wax cold. And have you noticed, maybe it's me, I'm around, whatever, but I'm in the school I'm around, et cetera, et cetera. But have you noticed that people just are different today? I mean, look at the iniquity is abounding more and more and more. Look at the government. Look at the choices they're making. Look at the politicians. Look at what's going on in the schools. Look at the shootings. Look at the kids that are stopping shooting. They're getting in trouble instead of the shooters or the guys with knives. Look at what's going on with the perverted lifestyle. Look what goes on with people who want to have a normal marriage and a normal lifestyle with normal children. Look at all the stuff. I mean, you can't find something that hasn't been iniquified. So, with all this has taken place, then we're also going to see the love of many is just waxing cold more and more and more. That's what's going on. As iniquity abounds, the love is going to wax colder. This is what's going on. So, why did you talk about this? Well, because these are the people that we're going to try to talk to. We're going to try to give ourselves some information here about the simplicities of life. We're going to answer these questions. And I'm going to hope that somebody somewhere is still perkable, that they would go, that makes so much sense. That's quite a Bible you got there. Or that just, now what makes sense to me? I understand why things are going on the way they are. Or somebody would say, you know, I just thought something was wrong with the church I was going to. I knew something was wrong. I knew the music, something was wrong with the music. I knew this worship stuff, just something wasn't right about it. You know, that kind of stuff. So, starting Sunday, we will get into our first, not in that order on the list, by the way, it's just whatever kind of comes around and we'll see what we want to get into. We'll start looking at these daily issues and these mysteries for people. We'll start looking at some stuff. And let's see if we can't do some simplistic explaining. Because, honestly, I'm hoping that I can do this in such a manner for myself. This is for me, again, like it always has been. For me to somehow be able to explain to some high school kid, or even junior high, to somebody, somewhere, some form, some itty-bitty little piece of the truth about what's going on when they see what they see. Or ways to spark a seed, like that one girl that said in that one class, she said, I just don't think I believe in purgatory, and a Catholic girl, you know, and the other one says, well, you know, I do. And I popped in with, you know, why do you even think you need a purgatory if Christ did what we all know that Christ says he did? Why do you need a purgatory? And it was quiet, and she said, that's a good question. So, where are we going to go with that? Probably nowhere. We know what's going on out there. The goodness of God. People are not interested in the goodness of God. If they're serious Christians at all, they're more concerned about the severity of God. And if they're a modern Christian at all, they're just flightingly aware of the love of God. And they're all confused with it. They're all mixed up with it. And nobody understands the goodness of God. They confuse the goodness of God with this so-called love of God that they misinterpret. And so they don't really want to hear the honest truth about God. Which takes us to the final conclusion, and that's in Romans chapter 1, to the final verse of Romans chapter 1, because the biggest problem we have in Romans chapter 1 ends with perverted lifestyles, and, you know, beyond belief here. But yet what we're talking about here is in verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And this is what we got people out there doing. They can't get over that God would actually, you know, give Himself and take care of the law for righteousness and impute His righteousness. That's God talk. Only God could do something like that. Yeah, that's right. And you're just mixed up to think that God couldn't do it. You don't think God can preserve His word from the time He told these guys to write it down, and we got people and printers mess them up, and He can't fix that stuff over time, and it gets all straightened out, and we have a polished and perfected, perfect word of God here? You think that's not possible? You think God can't do that? And then wouldn't you think that He'd give us a way to understand this thing by looking to Paul only, because it's very simple. You've got Adam and Eve. You've got Abraham, you've got Moses, you've got Jesus, God coming down here, and they kill Him, and goes back and tries to rescue Him again with His salvation, but they reject it with the baptism stuff, and so then the risen Savior goes on to this Paul guy, and goes to the Gentiles because His own people rejected Him, and when He's done to the Gentiles, the goodness of God, when He's done to the Gentiles, He's going to go back, He's got to spank His own children for what they did, but He still cares for them and loves them, and He will He will chastise them and keep them on the right path. He'll even give them his Spirit to help them do the right thing so we can all be together in the end. And that's just a real obvious, simple plan. But people are so caught up with this man God of theirs or this woman God of theirs, or they're so caught up with the conceit of themselves, their own conceit, then their understanding is darkened. And this is what we're going to try to help them see, how to understand by these daily issues of life. So we'll take that on for this summer.